My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is genuinely one of my very favorite places online to buy indie TTRPGs. They have a fantastic selection from some of my favorite designers and excellent customer service. And as part of their sponsorship of this season of Perils and Princesses, they are generously offering one of the biggest discounts they have ever offered, 15% off Perils and Princesses, the adventure module Sweet Revenge, or any other game in their store if you use our exclusive promo code PERIL15. That's PERIL15 to get 15% off. But not only are you going to get 15% off, you'll be letting the fine folks at Tabletop Bookshelf know that we were the ones who sent you there. And this is incredibly important. It lets Tabletop Bookshelf know that their investment in us and in actual play is a worthwhile one. It helps them grow their business and also helps us approach more sponsors in the future so we can continue making My First Dungeon better each and every season. So go to tabletopbookshelf.com, use code PERIL15, and get 15% off your next favorite game. And with that, enjoy the show.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Adelaide, you walk into this starlit hall and you see the stars begin to fade as you walk away from the twilight hall and into midday. And behind you, you hear only stunned silence and the clack of 5-inch heels coming down the dance floor directly behind you.
Adelaide is recognizing at this moment that she didn't take all of the petty potion. So she's like, just keep your head up. Just keep walking. That was very cool. Don't make it not cool. That was very cool. Don't make it not cool. Like in her brain. And so she continues walking as she passes through and sees like her sisters. She like kind of like looks over and gives them like a, and then just keeps walking, just like the smallest, tiniest acknowledgement of like, I don't know what the fuck I just did. But unless you're them, you don't know what's happening. And she continues to walk until she goes and finds, is there like a private balcony area or like a private like courtyard or something that she could go walk into?
Are you trying to get like total privacy?
Yes.
Like a hedge maze?
You know what? Hedge maze sounds great. I was gonna say no because this is like such a, like the whole place is based on gossip and who you know and what you see. And the Earl King is someone who is very difficult to have a private moment with. But you hang a Roger outside of the feast and you see outside, I don't know why I said that.
That's a classic Brian.
I saw everyone on the call prepare to make a joke. Okay, you hang Roger at the edge of the feast table. And Adelaide, you walk with the confidence of someone who knows they just did the coolest thing they will probably ever do and needs to follow through. You are walking directly at a brick wall. This area so respects what is happening here that the foundation of the wall itself opens up into a corridor that had not been seen in 3,000 years.
Oh my god! Oh my god. The rules of physics of cool. I love it.
Yes, physics of cool.
The Fey realm, the Eternal Ball, is built on the rule of cool.
Wow.
And it respects it. And you walk through this tunnel into a long forgotten hedge maze, and you begin to walk inside. And behind you, you hear the clack, 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 slowly speeding up. And as there's those heel steps like speeding up just a little bit, you hear a chattering going about as everyone is trying to be like, who was that? Who was that? Who was that? Where's the Arrow King? What is this? Where's that door? I haven't seen that place in years. You enter the maze, and behind you, you hear those heels coming after you. You get deep enough in the maze that you know that there is no one looking around. When does Adelaide turn around, or does she?
So Adelaide walks into the hedge maze, and she kind of stops until they make eye contact. And then she ducks off into the left into the that. Is it a hallway? It's not a hallway because it's not a hall.
Corridor?
She kind of like ducks into that part of the maze, like making sure that he kind of saw her do this. Like she wants to play a little bit of a game of like sexy cat and mouse.
You enter this hedge maze and very quickly you realize you are in a hedge maze in a fey realm. This is a convoluted area where for a moment you think you know where you're going and all of a sudden you realize that the pathway that was immediately behind you has disappeared and is overgrown. Can you roll me a wits check to see how well you can navigate through this hedge maze?
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, good. I rolled a 6. Woo!
As you are walking through this hedge maze, you all of a sudden recognize the way it is moving and the way it is changing. You take a left, or rather, you hang a Louie.
That is true. That is how that is. That is.
Oh, God.
You hang a Louie, and you know before you see it, you have somehow found yourself behind the Earl King.
Ooh.
At that moment, I tap him on the shoulders, like on the shoulder, on one very diminutive shoulder, covered in a very large shoulder pad. And then wait for him to turn around and see me.
Rather than turning around right away, he kind of jumps just a little bit, cools it down, places his hand on yours on his shoulder, and then in one fell swoop, swings around, spins you, and dips you down.
Whoa.
Adelaide is tall. I just want to make sure that everyone remembers that yes. Adelaide is tall.
Love it.
But height don't matter, never did. But just
he kind of has to jump to execute the spin a little bit, but it only looks
still
more
not.
Flourished.
Yeah.
Damn.
And as he dips you down, he goes, well, who are you? I can't do a Prince impression, so I'm not even going to try. No. I just want to be very clear. This is not my attempt. Spins you around, dips you down. And who are you?
Adelaide looks up and says, who do you think I am?
Dips you back up, spins you around, and like kind of puts you in a moment of dance just right across from him.
I think you're my date for the ball. And I think you're someone interesting. And I haven't been interested in very long time.
Adelaide, as there's a little bit of a, I guess a sexy fight dance happening. Oh. Adelaide offers her hand. I'll give you the name, but the date you'll have to earn.
Damn, Adelaide.
How are you? This is so cool.
It is literally the potion.
The Earl King reaches out his hand. As he does, you see his hands are covered. His fingers are covered in a number of like gold and emblazoned bejeweled rings. As he grabs your hand, spins you around again, and begins this like very fine dance that you're realizing it seems that he is imparting to you the steps through just like eyes, his through the way he looks at you through his physical touch.
Oh.
You feel this is the best you have ever danced. And it is very clear that he is like letting you lead and letting you feel incredibly powerful in this moment. And it's just like moving around in this very graceful, very beautiful dance just for the two of you.
I'll take a name and I'm happy to earn the date.
Adelaide smiles and says, you can call me Addie.
Addie.
You get the rest of the name after you earn the date. If anyone is around, in her head, she made another one of those, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, basically.
Yeah.
Outside, very cool. Cucumber, cool ass.
The Earl King looks at you and kind of like ends this momentary dance. Goes,
Addie, it is my pleasure to make your acquaintance. And does this very deep and regal bow,
deeper than you would expect in this moment, clearly like giving you all the attention and due you deserve as someone who for a moment took his breath away.
Adelaide reaches her hand down and tips his face up to look at her.
Oh.
And then like starts leading him up by the chin to back to his full height.
It's another just couple of inches.
Yeah. Journey's not that far.
So sexy, so small. And then she leans down and whispers in his ear, take me to your favorite part of the party.
For a moment, you see the game that you're playing almost crack a little bit around the outside. As you see, this is the only part of the party he's enjoyed for some time. And reminding him of the rest of the party, he all of a sudden like has this moment of realization that even this moment, as beautiful and interesting and new as it is, will pass. And he has a moment where just kind of like lingers in that for a moment. It's just a beat. It doesn't stay for very long. His face droops for only a second, and then it comes back up into that bright and sprightly smile.
Why don't I bring you out to the garden? Can maybe play some croquet, meet some people, or maybe I'd love to dance together with everybody.
So Adelaide clocked the look for sure.
I think you clocked the look for sure. Just a moment of there is something that he is a little bit bored with.
Adelaide says, I can hear music. I don't want to meet anybody. I've already met all of the people here that I want to meet. And she steps further kind of like into his area. There's nobody here. There's just me and you. And you can kind of, you can hear the music kind of
yeah,
going.
The music emanates from here, from the twilight section through the hall of midday and out into this garden. You can also hear somewhere out there, there's a gaggle of people who have clearly like started to try and come into the maze, but this maze is serpentine and circular, and it'll be some time before people find you, but you know that even this moment will end. He gives you a smile.
You know, I haven't felt something new in a very long time, and I feel it here. It's lovely. It's just fresh and new and vibrant, and it's a different shade, a different texture, a different color of this menagerie of beauty around me, and it's just, thank you. I would like to make you an offer.
Oh.
That was Danielle laughing.
It's an offer I've not made in some time. There was a time long ago where I would give boons to my friends and to those who could break the dreariness of this wonderful place and the monotony of beauty that surrounds me.
He pulls a ring from his finger, just like with one hand, slides it off and kind of holds it.
I'd like to give you a chance.
Oh.
To win a ring from me. It's not something I give freely. It's something that you must earn, as I must earn a date.
You're tricky.
Runs the ring over his fingers like a coin.
Games are meant to be played for two, my darling.
And how does one earn a boon from the Earl?
You see the ring momentarily, like a magic trick, vanishes, and you see a timer appear in front of him, like a sand timer.
Oh, interesting.
If you would like, my favorite thing in the entire party is a scavenger hunt. I haven't led one of these in so long, and I didn't think anyone would make me excited to do one again. It was my favorite thing when I was a child. Would you like to compete? All you need to collect is three things for me, and I will give to you the first ring that the Earl King has given in over 300 years.
I would love to earn the ring. And then afterwards, you can earn the date.
Hmm.
Again, for a moment, the sand timer disappears. And the sand from the sand timer, also this purple sand, begins to configure into a pair of people. He spreads out his hand and you see on his hand, as if it was a dance floor, a figure of you and a figure of he made of sand begin to dance a menagerie of dances all around his hand. As he kind of like moves it around, sways it, allows the dancers to go over his shoulder and around, and then vanishes once again into the sand timer.
I would love to, my darling. Would you like to know what you have to fetch for me?
Certainly.
This won't be easy. It never is. The best things in life are difficult.
Like me.
You see, he gives a big smile at that.
And I love things to be difficult. There are three things I'd like you to gather. A smile from Lady Nevis. A secret from Prince Aurelius. And praise from Duchess Jacinda. They are the three rarest things at this ball other than my affection. And I'd love for you to have all four.
I'll take that challenge. Question, though. For the secret from Prince Aurelius, does that need to be offered freely by him, or will any secret that I may know about him do?
Good clarification.
Any secret will do.
Okay. Well, then I've only got two more to go.
You see, he smiles as he turns the timer around.
I wish you all the best, my darling. Good luck.
He gives you a wink and vanishes. The timer floats over your shoulder and turns on its side, and your hour begins.
Ah, the timer has started.
Ah, this okay. is so real, Brad.
All right, so Princess Adelaide, that's me, turns back around and starts walking with cool determination and purpose towards her sisters out of the maze and into the house.
You start walking out of the maze, and immediately the maze begins to like kind of part for you, and all of a sudden like you are met with a swarm of people who are trying to see like who the hell you are, what the hell you did to the Earl. Like, who is this person that charmed the Earl King into getting up off his seat and following them? Like, you're just getting peppered with questions like, who are you? Who made your dress? What is it? You know, what is
who that? Made your dress?
Who are you wearing today?
What are you wearing?
Down, you horses. That's my sister. Stop.
Down, you horses.
You horses.
You walk through this throng, this crowd, and make it back to midday, the feast, and find Winnie, Amira, and Geraldine all kind of in a clump together waiting for your return.
Adelaide, you were making quite the impression. My God, that wall just melted away in front of you.
Yeah, I think we gotta get some more of this potion. I kind of don't know if I can be a person without it anymore. That's something that's something that we could talk about later.
I feel like Winnie's like, we will.
And we will, because the lack of authenticity in this group is constantly irritating me. That's okay. I'll fix them later. I'll fix them later.
I can fix them.
Of course.
So Adelaide says, okay, you see this? We have an hour. We have to get, I don't know if he said it was a team sport. I really should have asked, but he was too hot for me to think of anything other than how to not look like a douchebag. Okay.
Was this the Earl King?
The Earl King. That was the Earl King.
Wow, what a looker.
And he is offering me a boon of a ring, but I need to get three things. I need some gossip about the prince, Dunsey. I've already got that. Oh, God, I didn't even tell you guys that. I will get into that after my hour's over. I need to find Lady Nevis and get Lady Nevis to smile. And I need praise from Duchess Jacinda. So I need to figure out who these people are. And I guess I gotta make them like me.
That should be no problem.
Yeah. That sounds easy enough.
I think it's a lot easier to be kind of like a brazen bad bitch to a prince. I think it might be a lot harder to make other people not think that you look like an asshole.
I think, Adelaide, as you're looking around the room right now, the thing that you are noticing as you kind of like clock the people around this room, it is very clear that every single person in this room is listening into your conversation and trying to look casual about it.
Oh my God.
Damn it.
And just about every single person is not disguising their jealousy.
Brian, tabletop clarifying question of, yep, is this a team sport or Adelaide has to be praised specifically?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
If I could get Duchess Jacinda to say something nice about Adelaide, not to Adelaide's face necessarily.
I think
for anyone.
Yeah.
I think this is the praise has to be, I'm going to say it has to be for Adelaide.
Okay.
Okay.
The smile from Lady Nevis just has to be a smile.
Gorgeous.
And the secret from Prince Aurelius, you guys found before you even met the Earl King.
Yes.
So it's your decision on the manner in which you want to reveal that, either just to the Earl King or publicly.
Well, we don't have a lot of time, and we do have at least one resource that knows every single attendee at this party, Penny, the tryst situation with those people over there. So we can at least get her to identify who these people are, the smiler and the praiser.
Yeah. Oh, Adelaide, that's some hot gas. I think there's a little love triangle happening, but also everyone's fine with it?
Everyone's fine with it. See, I didn't know that part. I only got the part about the love triangle. Also, the prince writes the most purple prose you've ever heard in your entire life.
Wait, Geraldine, is everyone okay with it or just the three of them okay with it?
Oh, I think it's just the three of them. I don't know if other people know. But she just, the lady seemed so okay, or protective almost, of Penny.
And Winnie is pushing everyone towards Penny while we're having this conversation because we don't have time to lose.
Do a little West Wing walk and
you
talk.
You guys, yeah. Yep, full Aaron Sorkin mode. You see, there's a steady cam in front of you.
Poor guy's walking backwards.
Walking backwards. Some AC just grabbing him by the back and pushing him out of the way. You make it back to Dawn, the garden party, and you see Fairy Croquet is still in full swing. There's people doing crazy hits. And you see Lady Amorous, you see Prince Aurelius, and you see sitting like a few steps behind Lady Amorous is Penny.
Should I go ask her to point these two out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I might be made if I try to do too many things after this. I feel like there's maybe a couple of hundred eyes watching. And apparently when people hear eavesdrop, they also do it from up high and with binoculars. It's very intense, and I respect the hustle.
That is the vibes of this place.
Adelaide, somewhere from above you, like a pencil drops on the ground, and you look up, and there's just sky. But something fell from up there.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me go. Well, we don't need to do this. Never mind. We don't have time. Go. Continue. I'll be quiet.
I'll go see if I can sneak over and ask Penny who these two are. And then we'll see, who we think is going to be best at getting a smile and getting some praise.
Yeah, and I guess I will just stand over here being mysterious and not telling anybody what I'm doing so nobody tries to mess it up.
Yeah, maybe look at, make it look like, do a red herring.
Oh, I will do a red herring. I'll go talk to Tristan.
Yes.
While you get all of the details over there, I'll see if I can talk to Tristan. And if nothing else, maybe I can feed Tristan some false info.
Yes.
So that nobody tries to mess this up for us.
Muddy the waters. All right. Are we ready? On three.
Winnie is already in front of Penny.
You've been talking this whole time. Winnie just makes it.
Please, like, we're not doing it.
Where's Winnie? Her hand's not in the mix.
I'm already like, come here. You're going to go find two people for me.
Geraldine, you run over to go join Winnie. Adelaide, you go over and talk with Tristan. Tristan's social capital is immediately skyrocketing by just being in proximity with you. Winnie and Geraldine, you approach Penny. Penny goes,
you have your invitation to the pending nuptials. Is there anything else I can do for you? Anyone I can introduce you to around the garden party or anything?
Yes, that there. Yes. Introductions. Oh. We need two of them right now, please. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Post-haste.
Mm-hmm. It's very clear on her face that this was like a thing she says that no one's ever taken her up on.
Right. You got the right group today, Penny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And she walks over very timidly and taps Lady Amaris on the shoulder.
Excuse me, lady. These kind people would like some introductions. Can I be excused for 10, 15 minutes?
It'll really take 3 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Amaris looks kind of you guys over and then looks at her handmaid and goes,
Whatever I can do to help the attendees of the Eternal Ball, I am happy and honor-bound to do so. So please, take my only handmaiden and
thanks,
closest
bye.
Friend.
Yep, exactly. Moving on.
You're the best. We'll be back.
All right, it's okay. Today's going to be a day. Today's going to be a day.
All right, Penny, we got to know Lady Nevis and Duchess Jacinda.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Are you sure you want those particular introductions?
Yes.
Are you extra sure? Because I
Penny, you're really wasting time that we don't have. I'm really sorry to be rude.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude. Okay. They will likely be found either in midday or in twilight. Come with me.
And she, like, kind of quickly hurries you along. As you are walking, she's kind of talking to you about these two people.
Duchess Jacinda is of the Court of Shade and Gloom. She is...
Shade and Gloom, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, God!
You see her look at you and goes,
you kind of get it.
God!
Talking to her is... You know how some people enter duels with swords? She doesn't need a sword. It's just words. They say words can cut deeper, and she makes it true. So she's difficult to speak with. I try to stay away from her at all costs, but if you would like to be introduced, I'm happy.
Yeah, I got this. Do so. Introduce me.
Yep, there we go.
Okay, I see her over there. Follow me.
And as you're walking over to Dusterson, and then she goes, and Lady Nevis, you can see over there. And you found yourself all in the Twilight Hall, like dance hall. And across on opposite sides, there's Duchess Jacinda, who is the, heaving bosom woman.
Oh,
God. That we saw part of earlier. Very curly hair, a big flower in it that has, like, sunspots and moonbeams. And is, like, fanning herself very aggressively. And across the court, there is a very stern-looking woman with a very tall hat that has, like, stars on top of it, kind of, like, weighing down, like, almost like a, veil in front of her face. But even through that veil, you can see like a very stern expression, very tall, like pointed shoulders of her suit.
And that is Lady Nevis of the Court of Frost and Pine. She is also not my favorite. But again, introductions can be made. Duchess Jacinda first.
She takes Samira over to Duchess Jacinda. And you see, Duchess Jacinda sees you guys coming, turns her back.
Rude. <Yeah. laughs>
And Penny has to kind of keep, like, motioning, like, trying to, like, strafe so that she can catch Duchess Jacinda's eye. And then finally just taps her on the shoulder.
Excuse me, Duchess Jacinda, I would like to make an introduction.
And Duchess Jacinda goes,
Fine, darling. What would you like?
Oh.
Duchess Jacinda of the Court of Shade and Gloom, I would like to introduce you to...
Princess Amira of Equine Hollow.
Princess Amira of Equine Hollow, a wonderful new guest to the Eternal Ball.
And she very quickly, like, bows and scoots back extremely fast, trying to get out of the way of, like, whatever blast this woman is about to do of just vitriol and bile.
Nice.
Amira, Justice Jacinda immediately looks you up and down and goes,
"Hmm. Your whole thing is kind of one note, isn't it?"
Yours is half a note.
Yes, God.
Oh.
Serve it, Chinook.
Listen, how do you feel about this party?
It's the same party we've been having for many years now.
I know. The horses need a big upgrade.
Yes, that's what I call them, too.
Oh!
Okay, let's go.
Let's go, besties.
And the horse girls, an even bigger upgrade.
Oh, God.
The horse girls here do need a bigger upgrade. Wait, are you talking about me? Fuck you.
You see, around her ear is like an ear cuff, but in the shape of a wyvern, like a small dragon. And it crawls around her neck and goes into the other ear and whispers something in her ear.
Ooh.
And then, like, becomes an ear cuff again.
Interesting.
I'm sorry. Am I to understand that you are in love with your horse?
Oh, we are serving today.
I feel like Winnie and Geraldine are literally just like hiding behind someone watching this, and they are like the crowd just like gasping and be like, "Oh, another serve returned."
Listen, you can do a lot of shit, but you're not gonna talk shit about my sibling. So I'm wondering whether I let Amira stay in her lane and do what I know she's good at, or whether I outright attack this woman. And then I realize we're on a clock. At some point, it's going to be turning Penny away to get this other introduction done while Amira dog walks this particular individual, because I know Amira can do it.
Amira goes up to her face, like, takes a swig of her spaghetti, gets, like, kind of intimately close, and goes, "Yes. You see, the man I loved has been plagued by the infernal curse of the unicorn soul. So I deeply love this horse, because it is someone deeply important to me, and he loves me back, which is something you've never experienced, have you?"
Oh,
I'm assuming this is, like, she's pretty hostile now, right?
Extremely hostile.
Great. I want to use my special ability, Magic Touch.
Oh.
Tell me what Magic Touch does.
So I'm going to use Smooch tenderly. I'm going to kiss her. I'm going to smooch her tenderly. And if I kiss a hostile creature, if they have some HP or less, they are overcome with tenderness and lose their will to fight.
Amira.
Amazing.
Amira.
Okay.
The power of a good smooch.
Okay, so for this to work, you're going to be rolling your gift dice. You are summing the dice. If that sum is greater than or equal to the heart points of the creature, they will fall under this spell.
Oh my God.
Come on, baby.
Do you know how much hit points they have?
I do. It was right here. Stand by.
Elliot, pause the clock.
Yeah, this isn't fair. This
doesn't count.
Check.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Elliot, you can pause the clock. You can pause the clock. Okay. I'm sorry, I've got it.
Stop the count.
Stop the count.
Stop the steal. Elliot, you can go ahead and start the clock.
Man.
So I have the hit points in front of me. Are you going to be rolling one gift dice or two?
I'm going to roll two.
I like it, baby. I like
it. Okay. The Eternal Ball party guests have 6 hit points. So you need to hit or beat 6 on this pair of dice.
Thank God I used 2. I rolled a 5.
It's a good start.
And a 1.
That's a great finish.
Yo.
Oh, God.
With exactly 6 hit points.
Oh, my God.
Everyone around here is looking at Duchess Jacinda going barb for barb with this brand new person in the court. And as it is happening, the tension in this place is ratcheting up. Everyone is like, the people are placing bets on who's going to win. There's like color commentary from the side. This is like an epic Serena Williams tennis match. People are going, people are like, the heads are going back and forth, like watching as if they're watching a tennis ball going back and forth. And as this happens, the tension is heightening and heightening and heightening and heightening. And as it does, someone in the crowd is the first to say it. Oh my God. Are they going to kiss?
Yep.
And Amira, you see Duchess Jacinda's eyes momentarily look at you and go soft for a moment as you lean in and kiss her.
Oh my gosh, oh my God, oh my gosh.
What's happening?
Amira, tell me what this moment looks like from your perspective.
Amira is like leaned in, had the spaghetti like right next to her, like holding it next to her. And as she like kisses the Duchess, like the way like Amira like pulls rage out of her head, like you can't see it, but like a like energy transfer from like Amira's mouth into her, like a kind of like, I'm putting like a hive mind energies going into her through the kiss.
Yeah.
And it looks on the outside like they're tenderly kissing. On the inside, it is a deeply disturbing process for Amira of like, it's like, oh God, this sucks. But like removes her lips from the Duchess's mouth. And like Amira's like, oh, I'm going to throw up. And the Duchess is fully enamored, I think.
Oh my God.
I think as you pull away, like the Duchess's rage comes with you.
Yeah.
And you now have a bit of that in you. And the Duchess, you see her shoulders, maybe for the first time ever, go soft and kind of like slump down a little bit. So much so that like her whole outfit kind of like ceases to work because she isn't keeping her shoulders as high up as she needs to.
Yeah.
And she looks at you and kind of just like leans in and puts her arm around your like the small of your back. Everyone kind of like gasps and looks around. And Duchess Jacinda moves, rather than being face to face with you in a confrontational way, moves to your side in a like confessional way, whispers in your ear, I haven't had a kiss that good in years.
Get it, girl.
Yeah, I can tell.
She kisses you right there again. she dips you. She goes in the whole way.
Great. Thank you. It's good job on the second one. come meet my friends and say something nice about each of them.
She follows you over to your group of friends. As she sees Adelaide, she goes, oh, you're friends with that woman. The one that the Earl King was.
Those are my sisters. I should have said, I don't know why I said friends. They're my sisters.
You hear something that as these words are echoed, everyone in the hall gasps. Can you introduce me
to my sisters?
Yeah, I'd love to be introduced.
Yeah, of course. Come on. Yep.
You see her whole countenance softens as you go and introduce her.
Hello. My name is Duchess Jacinda.
This is Geraldine, Winnie, and my beautiful sister, Adelaide, which you can say if you want. Do you agree that she's beautiful?
So you agree. You think you're really pretty.
You see, Duchess Jacinda kind of leans in. Adelaide takes her hand, like shakes it very vigorously and goes,
I don't say this very often. There's nothing I love more than an impressive woman. And you, my dear, are an impressive woman.
Oh!
Adelaide smiles, takes her hand, and like kisses it. Thank you. Takes one to know one.
Woo-hoo.
As you kiss Duchess Jacinda's hand, you see a small rosy blush comes to her cheek as she takes the compliment. And on your shoulder, you see the hourglass does like a little jig. It momentarily bursts into sand. And then there's a little like sand Earl King sitting there, holds up three fingers and then daps down one finger and now is holding two. And then goes back into sand.
Dope.
This thing is cool, Brian.
This adventure rules.
This adventure rules.
Shout out Destiny Howell with one of the best adventure routes.
Sam's timer is incredibly cool.
So fun.
Yeah, this is dope.
You have completed to the Earl King satisfaction, one of the three. I know you have the knowledge for the second one, but you haven't given it to him yet.
Yeah. So for that one, also just a clarification, do I need to give that to the Earl King or can I just tell that to like anybody?
I think it is, you could either give that directly to the Earl King or you could make that information public.
Oh, so it's either tell him or expose it. Okay, I'll hang on to it. I feel like I want to give that to him personally.
Okay. You hold on to that very juicy secret from two courts soon to be wed. And from across the hall, Winnie, you're being led over to Lady Nevis. And Lady Nevis, extremely reserved, frosty. As you approach her, the air gets colder. She is from the court of Frost and Pine, and you smell that bit of pine on her, like a kind of like a cedar perfume or something, and you can feel the air around her get a little bit chillier.
Ooh.
Winnie, as you approach, can you make a wits test for me?
I can try. Just send thoughts and prayers on how we do. Guys, this is a 15 over a 10.
Oh, no. Okay. Ah, so a heart die, we'd have to...
I can give you a heart die.
Yeah, I've got a heart die.
I was to say, I can do one. I haven't done one.
Yeah, do it. Do it, Abby.
If you guys want to help.
Roll high.
Let's see. A 3.
That's
okay,
good.
That's down to a 12. We got to get another 2, right?
I got to get another 2.
Okay, and the heart die is a 6 or a 4?
That's D4.
D4. Okay, I got it.
Come on, gorgeous.
How many do we need?
At least 2.
I won.
Damn it.
I can roll another heart die.
Yeah, let's go.
Amira, roll another heart die.
That's a 2.
The sisters
come
through.
Okay.
That was a family effort.
I think that makes it. As you guys all walk over together, you see Lady Nevis there. And as you're walking over, Penny is talking to you the whole way. Lady Nevis is of the court of Frost and Pine. She is extremely curt and cold, as is her station. She is very difficult to get to know. She doesn't have many friends here, but she is a fixture and everyone gives her due respect. She has been a fairy godmother before. Winnie, you see, with that successful check, you see a very put together woman. She is extremely cold, extremely icy. Everything about her appearance is telling you, like, kind of keep your distance. Not necessarily stay away, but like, you know, stay away.
Yeah.
Everything about it is blue and sharp and angry and a little bit sad, with one very noteworthy exception. Winnie, you smell on her mostly the smell of pine and cold and frost, but you also smell just a little bit of, again, this comes to you not as a smell, but as a memory, a very strong memory. And it is of a little girl running past you and like the smell of the perfume or shampoo in her hair, just like wafting past and seeing this little girl running with such carefree energy. That's the smell. It's not just the shampoo, but it's the feeling of freedom of a small child.
Mm. Damn.
And your nose kind of locks in on where that's coming from. And around her wrist, all the jewelry and things and adornments are all silver and gold and very stark things. Around her wrist is a single yarn tattered bracelet. And you approach Lady Nevis for an introduction. Lady Nevis, thank you. I would like to make you an introduction. This is Lady Nevis of the Course of Frost and Pine, and these are some new attendees to the ball. This is Winnie, Winifred.
Princess Winnie, Lady Nevis, it is an honor to meet you. Your time is valuable, and I'm not going to waste much of it. I recognize that you hail from pines, and I understand the power of pines. I know that they are evergreen. I understand how their needles can harm and rise. I know that their resin makes things everlasting, and I know that their cones, no matter the gender, can spread and embrace life. And I smell and recognize something in you that also spreads and embraces life. We're here on a mission that's supported by our fairy godmother, where people are dying. And you are the singular hurdle between us saving lives and hundreds dying. We ask for a moment of your time.
GameFound is inviting you to participate in their second RPG party, a curated event designed to help indie TTRPG creators bring their projects to life through crowdfunding. Whether you're working on a zine, a 600-page collection of tomes, or something more esoteric, this is a unique opportunity to move forward with real support, visibility, and expert feedback. Applications will be reviewed by a panel of judges from GameFound and industry partners like Darrington Press, Modiphius Entertainment, Free League Publishing, and Magpie Games. 15 to 25 projects will be selected to receive workshops with industry experts, marketing support, one-on-one mentorship, and a community of fellow designers to grow together. Open call for submissions lasts from May 5th to 26th, and crowdfunding goes live this fall. Let this be the push you need to manifest your game in the physical realm. It's going to be challenging, there's going to be stress, and if you're able to put in the work, it's going to be so incredibly rewarding. Go to gamefound.com/blog for more information and to submit your project today.
This episode was brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I'm a huge fan of post-apocalyptic world building, so I recommend starting with their piece, We Can't Stop Watching the World End, which talks about properties like GLaDLands, Fallout, and Silo, and what they have to say about humanity and our ability to imagine a world after the apocalypse. But any piece on World Builders Club is going to be a great read for those of us who love to imagine better worlds. So join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing at bit.ly/WBC Many-Sided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
Winnie, you look at Lady Nevis and she hears your words, just gives a small solemn nod, and then moves off into a more secluded alcove away from the looky-loos and the eavesdroppers that are very interested in what is happening with your party. As she kind of moves back and you guys kind of find this little area, she has a few like kind of people of her court that kind of like create a circle around her. And you notice that this woman is like very cold towards you, but you notice that her eyes have kind of like have been alighted in a certain way by what you've said. She kind of inclines her head and motions for you to begin what you want to say.
I'm going to take a deep, relieved breath because going direct doesn't always pay off. I've learned that lesson the hard way multiple times coming through my childhood and being with this particular group of sisters. But apparently in this particular ball in this court, being direct is at least turned over some type of benefit. So I'm going to take a deep breath. Thank you for the audience. Again, I know your time is precious. We won't waste much of it. My sister and fellow princess, we need something from you. And then I'm going to look over towards Adelaide.
Okay, perfect. So you look over at me. I'm talking to Tristan, and you just hear the end of it. You just hear the end of it. And I was like, did you know that a rat king is like when a bunch of rats are together and their tails get all mixed up? Crazy.
You see this like fey individual who has never had to deal with rats or anything of that like quality. Just like, so rats, can we back up a little bit further? What's a rat?
Oh, honey. She just like puts her hand on like his shoulder and she looks over to like kind of clock and sees that folks are looking over there. But she knows that like her sister has it handled because being direct doesn't always work, as her sister has learned by hanging out with her sisters. But when
it works, it really works.
Adelaide, can you do me a favor and roll for me a wits test as you glance over and kind of clock Lady Nevis?
Ooh.
Oh, no. No, that's a 15 on 12.
Oh. Wait, I think I've got hard dice I can throw at it.
I think I've got one also.
I've got one left.
Yeah, Winnie, go for it.
All right.
You got to roll a 3 or 4.
Yes, I hit a 4.
Yeah!
Okay. Nice.
Adelaide, you glance over, and Winnie at the last moment kind of like moves just to the side to allow you a full glance at Lady Nevis. And you see all the things that have been described thus far, this very cold, stark woman. You too notice the yarn bracelet around her wrist that seems very out of place. Adelaide, you notice one additional thing that I don't think Winnie did.
Ooh.
Because Winnie zoomed in on the smell and the sensation of this bracelet, which was so potent. Adelaide, you cue in on something much more magical. Dangling around her neck, along with a number of more fine, like crystalline and diamond jewelry, you see a silver necklace with a pendant. The pendant is maybe would fit in the size of your hand, maybe a little bit smaller, is in the shape of a honey dipper.
Oh.
Okay. Huh.
And we're all very smart, and we all know what that means.
Yes. Well, is she friends with Queen Gardenia?
I think, Adelaide, you recognize at this moment that if you were pixie-sized, that would very much be the size of a honey dipper wand.
Oh, wait.
Oh, boy.
Dulcinea.
Oh.
And you do know who last held, or rather, last stole the honey dipper wand.
Oh, the plot thickens.
Okay, Adelaide is going to turn to Tristan and go, let's put a pin in that. Probably shouldn't put in rats. Yeah.
You see, he pulls out a notebook. Don't pin rats, okay? Got it. I'm really interested.
And then Adelaide walks over to and join her sister and join her. Hi, hello, very nice to meet you. Kind of sticks out her hand for a shake. I'm Adelaide.
Lady Nevis very deftly like reaches out her hand. You feel her touch ice cold in yours, almost like frostbitten. Like you almost feel your skin getting like tongue on a cold pole. Almost like sticks as it lets go.
Adelaide is like trying to like be cool because she's still got that batty potion in her.
Nice.
And unsticks. Oh, you're a cool cucumber. I'm sorry. I couldn't help but notice from across the way you are wearing the most beautiful pendant I think I've ever seen. Would it be okay if I took a slightly closer look at it? And Adelaide kind of like, batty potion, batty potion, batty potion. Adelaide kind of like leans in and she's looking at the necklace. Bosom heaves just like a little bit to like kind of like just bit, like a slight bit. Incidental touch. She understands that with the batty potion, her breath also smells like 1,000 mints. Like it smells.
That's too many mints.
It smells like too
that's
many
mints. Dude.
Yeah, it smells like ever wintergreen that you've ever had. It tastes like the strongest mint ever, but like almost sweet. And she realizes that this potion is still working, she very carefully like looks up at her through her lashes.
Oh.
And just says, "May I?" And starts to like reach her hand towards the pendant.
Man. There's so much happening here.
There's so much going on. It's multi-layered.
Yeah, you know what? I think partially this is an element of your wits check, but she looks down at your hand and kind of like looks to Winnie, who's extended her kind of every courtesy in this moment, and kind of holds out the, kind of puts her fingers around the charm at the end, the honey dipper portion, and goes, "If you would like to see, please examine it. It's one of my finest possessions."
Adelaide definitely puts her hands down, like understanding that's like, okay, if she lifts it up, then I'll like lift her head.
So the head gets like lower, still peering out the eyelashes. On a normal person, this would hurt, but in the same way, that a hoe never gets cold, and that's why the ice didn't super affect her. Also,
my God.
Like a hoe's neck never hurts.
My God.
There you go. Facts.
So she's like looking up, and she's looking at the pendant, and she looks over to Winnie to kind of get an idea of what the next play should be, because she knows that if it seems to have been working with Winnie, then this isn't like a charm situation. This is like a let's just be like blunt and honest situation. This isn't like about tricks or a seduction. If it seems like it like she was getting on with Winnie.
Yeah, I think if I'm making eye contact with Adelaide, there's that moment of frustration where yet again, I feel like I'm moving in one direction and then one of my siblings does something way off base. It's like, no, let's not come back. What are you doing? But the charm takes me off guard because what I was not expecting was to see a honey dipper wand on this woman's neck. So I think as Adelaide is like focusing in on it, it almost like derails me just briefly. I was like, Where did you get that?
I'm so sorry. You have me at a disadvantage. When I allowed you into my company, it was because you said there was great urgency and many might die. Are you to tell me that this is because of my necklace?
No. But your necklace has a story that it's somehow interwoven into, and then I just collapse. It's just immediately, like, just bump straight to the floor. I immediately collapse, and I cross my legs, and I throw my hands into my lap. And I'm just going to look this woman dead on. And, Brian, you can let me know if you want me to do this in character or if it's okay just because of the time we're working on to kind of compress it. But it's going to be a very concise story of it all started with Princess Celine, who was our friend. And then it's just going to be a quick rundown.
As you go down into like a crisscross applesauce position, this very like childlike pose, you see again a little something in Lady Nevis softens. It's not in her countenance, it's just in her eyes. And there's a bit of a hush that goes around the court as she gets down in this very like difficult, this is not an easy maneuver for this dress that she is wearing that is very stiff and like straight. She gets down kind of on her knees to meet your level and allows you to tell this story. However, because you are taking this time, Elliot, can we advance that time by 7 minutes, please?
No!
That's valid. Nope, I'm going to take it. That is valid. That's so disrespectful.
I'm like just
that's
watching
ridiculous.
This.
It's
look at the time go.
No, that's so many times.
I bet you're enjoying this.
That's the so meanest thing I've ever done as a GM. And just so the audience knows, there are 11 minutes and 22, 21, 20 seconds remaining in this time. But I won't take up any more of that time. Lady Nevis listens to your story, and as you finish it, as you bring it up to now, and the necessities of what you need and the true interwovenness of these stories and how this honey dipper wand could connect, she looks to you and goes, there is very much to say and very much that I can help with, but allow me to be precise and clear in my answers. This honey dipper wand was traded to me by Dulcinea. She visited the Fae court some time ago, and it was a trinket, a bauble that I was very interested in. It has very potent magic, and Dulcinea was willing to trade it for a bauble she had no use for, that she couldn't use. And so I was happy to take advantage of her in that way. I gave her my soul-call periapt, which is something that she couldn't possibly have any use for. But it's not something I needed, and this wand was quite valuable. So I was happy to play on her ignorance.
Yeah, she's real ignorant because we all know what a so-called periat is, for sure.
Yep, for sure.
It's a very simple tool for those who are interested in astrally projecting their soul.
Oh boy.
It's basically a beacon to call a soul back to the proper body. Without it, a soul could get lost, could turn into something like a white, could become malevolent.
Did you say a white? Sorry, continue. Never mind.
That was worth 5 seconds.
That was worth it. It was worth it. It was worth it. You're not going to take that away from us.
Without something like it, an untrained spirit could fall to the ether or just possess any nearby vessel rather than their own body. But a witch of Dulcinea's caliber could not possibly make use of it, and I have many such trinkets. The wand was much more valuable to me.
I'm going to throw a glance over at Amira, and I just want to take a leap and just see if I can briefly describe this trinket as the one half that we have right now.
Like the moon?
Yes. Just in case if that's the anchor point of the night.
Lady Nevis kind of motions to one of her kind of members of one of her courts, and a woman comes over and shows you like an example of what this trinket would be. And it's like on a corded band around a neck. And it's essentially a large pendant, like kind of like a ruby in the center surrounded by gold.
Mm.
It seems to be like a larger kind of like arcane focus. So you recognize it's definitely not what you have. And it's also definitely not like the sister piece to that moon, or at least it'd be very unlikely to be. But it is kind of like a large, very classical amulet.
Thank you for that clarity. We've come a long way, and I don't want to make any assumptions about what Dulcinea was or was not capable of. We know the damage that she's inflicted on so many. My fellow Princess Adelaide is so close to receiving one of the last items that we need to lift this curse. There were three requirements put upon her. There was gossip from Prince Aurelius. There was a compliment from Duchess Jacinda. And he's asking us to acquire a smile from you.
I see. It seems that the Earl King is playing a bit of a joke on you. There's difficult things to get, and then there's one that he hasn't seen in some time. I've not smiled for centuries now. He wants the thing that he can't have, or rather the thing that is so rare as to not be seen in centuries.
Oh, sweet baby. Seems like that's kind of his whole deal, huh? Wanting things he kind of can't have.
Okay. Amira has a plan.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Lord help us.
Here we go.
She's not going to smile for us. She's clearly not going to smile because we have 6 minutes left. Okay, Brian, here's what I want to do. Is anybody laughing around us?
Sure.
Okay, can I go over there and pull out the laughter from them, like the way I pull out my rage?
Sure. I think it is only fair that I make your roll a wits check and remind you that because of your choices early on in this game, you are rolling with disadvantage for your wits check.
Oh, I fucking hate you. Okay.
Who has our die? Just in case we need them all
on
standby.
I love the idea, but I do want to make your
You know what? Needs must, Brian.
Okay, so rolling at disadvantage, 2d20 to take the lower, right?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Oh my god, I rolled a 3 and a 2.
Oh my god!
Huge!
Oh my god!
We gotta start getting you rolling for everybody again.
No.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Amira, you find this fairy in a full jester's outfit. This is Finnegan, jester of the Court of Jokes and Japes. Everyone around him is laughing and cackling, and he, most of all, is merry. You go up to him. How do you extract this laughter?
I go, ha, sorry, 1 second. And then I just, like, put my hand on his face, and then I, like I'm, like, ripping the, like, hair off his head, just, like, pulling out the joy from him. And as I'm pulling it out, he slowly gets sadder and said, I'm so sorry. And I just pull it all out, pull in the bottle. I need this so badly. I'm so sorry. I have 5 minutes left. I cannot talk to you. And then I run away.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, Amira.
The jester of the Court of Jokes and Japes for the first time in a millennia.
He's crying.
Has a frown on their face like the other side of the drama comedy.
Oh, that's what I was picturing. Oh my god.
But doctor, I am the jester of the Court of Jokes and Japes. My god.
This will have cosmic repercussions in terms of like the world of laughter and fun.
Oh man.
But we can't get into that right now.
No, we can't. No, we can't.
We only have 4 minutes.
We only have 4 minutes and 10 seconds.
That's a tomorrow problem.
You pull out this laughter. It's this like yellow and blue liquid. And you go back over to Lady Nevis.
Okay, are we done talking to her? Did we get all the information we wanted? Are you got you sisters? We're good. Okay, we're good. Open wide, and then I just pour the liquid down her mouth.
Go ahead and roll me a resolve test. This is like basically just a strength roll. So you don't have to roll disadvantage on this one. This is just straight.
I feel so bad for what we're doing to this poor woman.
Okay.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Resolve. Oh, shit. I rolled a 13. I need 9. Can I have some heart dice?
Oh, I'm out. Man. I have one.
Do I have any left? I think I'll I have roll one left.
Adelaide, I think you have one. Jordan has one.
Okay.
I rolled a 2.
Okay, Jordan rolls a 2. Adelaide, you got to roll a 2, so just not a 1.
Well.
No!
Can I use my own heart dice?
But how about she just smirks? Does that count?
Amira, you cannot use your own heart dice on your own roll.
Fuck!
As Amira goes in and tries to put this thing down, Gertrude and Adelaide immediately recognize like kind of what's happening and go to kind of like hold Lady Nevis. As that happens, Lady Nevis closes her mouth and kind of like pushes Amira away and immediately raises her hand and goes, "Court, seize them!"
Fuck!
Amira is immediately going to get swarmed by a number of members of the Court of Frost.
Bad horses, let go!
The Court of Frost and Pine immediately swarm Adelaide, Amira, and Gertrude. Winnie, you see Lady Nevis looks at Adelaide, Amira, and Geraldine and immediately pulls them to the side with the members of her court, looks to Winnie with a very stern expression, her voice barely raising. "I'm sorry, I thought I was to understand that you were a straightforward and very presentable person, but it seems that your friends are not. Why should I spare them?"
Oh, she's up on her feet. I'm going to rise. I'm going to close the distance. I'm going to open up both of my palms, and I'm very gently going to do that up and over hover over that yarn bracelet. I'm not physically making contact as much as I am just kind of almost smothering her without contact with a palm beneath her and a palm over it. And I'm going to look her dead in the eyes, and I'm going to start listing off the people from that village that have died or are currently candifying.
Winnie, roll me a wits test. I'm going to tell you this will be to get information that you will need to succeed here.
Okay. Mayor Theo Everson and his wife April. There's Roxy. She's brilliant. You would love her. She owns a potion shop. There is, and then I'm just going through the list. I hit a 6. That's a success.
Whew.
Mm.
You see a twinge as you mention Theo and his son. You know what this bracelet is. You recognize that Lady Nevis, at some point in her life long ago, was a fairy godmother.
Oh.
And lost her child. Either to old age or to something, but that is the thing that she recognizes. You know that listing the children in this village, the children that you know, will be the thing to turn the tide and get a smile from Lady Nevis.
And I immediately start naming the children, including that little annoying boy that we love to hate because he's also candifying.
Rory.
Tell her about Rory the Brave.
Tell her about Brownie the Dog.
I'm so scared. I'm looking at the timer. I go through the names.
As you mention Rory the Brave, and with 3 seconds left on this clock,
Jesus!
You tell everyone about Rory the Brave and how brave and cute he is, but also how annoying as fuck he is.
Because she's honest, what she's not going to do is hold back.
And you see that small crack of a smile, skin almost literally cracking on her cheeks from an expression that has not been held on her face for over 200 years.
Oh.
As she for a moment remembers what it is like to be a fairy godmother. As that smile appears, you see Adelaide on your shoulder. The Sand Earl King jumps up and kind of like begins to dance around your face and go,
"Congratulations."
Does he do like the splits at like any time?
Does the splits for sure.
Is he like kind of, is he, there's no polite way. Is he like cupping my shoulder? Is he like,
is he humping my shoulder?
You've seen Purple Rain.
The Earl King from this spiral of sand that is dancing on your shoulder to Purple Rain appears in front of you. And
Adelaide gives you a very soft smile.
You have done so many interesting things today. Truly, I've not seen the likes of you in some time.
I didn't give you a task that I thought would be easy. I gave you a task that I thought would be impossible. And in a mere hour, my goodness. My goodness.
Adelaide's like smiling, also looking up at him through his lashes, which is insane because he is quite short.
She's like squatting a little bit too.
But yeah, it's the baddie properties of physics, I guess.
Yes.
I can be both very tall and also like demure and looking up at the same time.
At the same damn time, honey.
The camera zooms back and Adelaide is like squatting down, like your quads are just shaking.
I think we've already established I have Texas knees.
Yeah, there we go.
Looks to you and goes, there is so much in this court that I'm so familiar with and so much in this realm that I'm so unendingly familiar with. It's all there and I've spent enough time to see it all. In but an hour, you showed me 4 things that I'd never seen before, or not seen in quite a long time. Such gossip. Such compliments. Such a smile from such a cold face. And such a woman as I have never before beheld.
Adelaide, just like super excited that we got this over with.
Done.
And I believe that means that I get a prize and you get a date.
You notice for the first time the whole crowd has gone hushed. And actually, somehow you don't even know quite how, you have all been slowly levitating towards the center of the room. you kind of look up and realize you're surrounded not by just by the people who were in the twilight area of this ball, but by everyone from dawn and from noon. You see like Prince Aurelius and Penny and all these different people as the Earl King looks to you and goes,
for a date with you, for just a few more hours of companionship, I would happily wait a century.
Jesus Christ.
Matt ever said anything like that to you, Amira?
Okay. You, Geraldine, we'll talk after.
I'm just rassing ya.
Shut up.
Does this ball have a library? Sorry.
Bruh.
From his finger, he pulls off a very fine gold ring. And as the whole crowd kind of hushes and gasps, he leans out and hands it to you.
Adelaide puts her finger out for him to put the ring on her.
My God.
He slides it on one of your fingers, pulls your hand and brings it into a small kiss, and then lets your hand drop to your side.
I eagerly await your return. Whenever you see fit, I'll be happy to wait.
Adelaide looks over where he kissed her fingers. She kisses it back, places her hands on his mouth, and then turns and walks off.
She's more confident.
It's a little bit. It's been a moment. She's gonna have a hell of a baddie hangover after this.
Oh my God.
As you kiss your hand and lay it on his lips, you see that his foot pops.
Oh, like a Princess Diary.
Like a Princess Diary moment.
Like in Princess, that's dope.
And you see a very bright, very true smile that spreads from his mouth to his eyes. And you see a person revitalized with life. The whole court parts for you as Adelaide just like walks off through this group of people. There's a bunch of people whispering. You see Tristan is like very clearly trying to be as close to you as possible, like really play like I taught her everything she knows.
That's my friend.
That's my friend. Yeah. She's my friend.
That's my best friend.
Tristan's social stature has gone up a ton. You see Lady Nevis, as this happens, snaps her fingers, and her retinue releases Winnie and Amira and Geraldine. You see all of them kind of give you some, like, death stares, but they recognize that, like, you're with Adelaide and that feels like we should let you go. As the Earl King is still beaming and, like, exuding this light that is warming the place and turning twilight in this room into a new dawn.
Oh!
And you guys walk out with the second of three items to break the candy curse. As you guys walk through twilight and through noon and through dawn, the areas are essentially empty as everyone had funneled into the twilight area. Is there anything else you want to do while you're here, or are you making your way towards your exit?
Adelaide is very afraid that as this potion walks off, she is going to go back to being a huge dork. So she's just literally like, she's like Cinderella after the ball. Yes. But if Cinderella was a bad bitch and was like afraid of like, afraid of like, you know, I don't know, leaving behind an extension or something for the prince to come find her. So she's just like trying to hotly quick walk as fast as you've ever seen.
It's the same vibe of like, I kind of got to get to a bathroom now.
Yeah.
Before I fuck this up. Yes.
I was going to say, I feel like Geraldine also is like, so good to note where the honey dipper is. We can let Gardenia know that later, because I don't think Lady Nevis ever wants to see us again.
Who's the lady I kissed? What was her name?
Duchess Jacinda.
Yeah, Duchess Jacinda. I'm just trying to shake her because she's not leaving me alone and keeps following us.
It is lasting for a while. Duchess Jacinda's kind of following behind you, being like, so, like, what's your deal?
Listen, what are we?
What is this?
I'm into horses right now.
Oh, God.
Right now!
Oh, my God.
It's a whole thing.
It's
just not. I think you should.
Sorry, wait. I just have to examine that real quick. Was Amira not a horse girl before Matt?
Well, no.
I don't know. Amira had to have a little bit of a horse girl.
I mean, she was like regular into horses, but not like in a weird horse girl way.
Oh my God.
You know, in the normal way that princesses like horses.
Yeah. Sorry, I just said that was just for me.
We just had to clarify. It was worth it. It was worth it. There's no way that Winnie can leave that much of her soul back there with Lady Nevis after an encounter like that. So I think just before we leave, I'm going to look her directly in those just icy blue eyes. Thank you. Once this is finished, I would love to repay you for this type of kindness. I can invite you to the village and the children can share stories with you. Or I can show you one now. I'm just kind of like open up my dress and like the stars are going to start rearranging with like children at play, whatever local game they play. Or I can come back and spend time with you. But there has to be something I can do to repay the kindness that you've shown us tonight. And to honor the grief that I recognize that you now feel.
She watches for a moment as the stars dance in these childlike constellations across your dress of children at play and fields and looking out over stars themselves. And that smile tries to reappear, but it's almost painful for her now. It's been so long. But she looks to you. I think it's maybe time that I find a new child to protect. If you would introduce me, I would love to meet some children at your village.
Oh, man. Not Rory, though.
Fucking Rory.
That's maybe exactly who they deserve each other. That's what they need. Somebody to push some her guidance. Patience.
Rory needs a stern hand.
When this is resolved, I give you my word on the pine and the stars that I'll return and I'll introduce you to someone where you can try again.
Yeah, that Rory fellow seems like a right challenge.
Yeah, even his dog doesn't like him. So at this point, I think he needs something. So yeah, that might work. I could get you a 2-for-1 special. As I'm like saying this and I'm working through the math on it, as now I'm going to leave her.
Winnie, you hear the words that you absolutely do not want to hear from this woman. I'm sure I can fix him.
No, God, no! Brian, I'm stepping away. Right foot, left foot. My right foot rises, my knee is in the air, and every dancing star immediately just plummets to the bottom of the dress.
For the rest of the encounter, the dress is black except for a star hem.
Such disappointment.
I can fix it.
The four worst
That's all you
words
need to do to trigger Winnie into just nothingness. I can fix it. Oh, God.
You guys all make it out to the large entranceway out of the Eternal Ball. And actually, Elvar is there greeting people as they are exiting. A number of people are going in and out. And as you are leaving, Winnie, he kind of looks at you and goes, Winifred, it's very good to see you. Just wanted to give you a heads up since you are mortals. The journey out of the Eternal Ball can be a little bit jarring. Your time spent here is not always the time you spent on the outside. It could be but a moment. It could be a number of days, so it may be a bit uncomfortable.
Oh, no. What? Oh, no.
It's not painful. It's just a little bit, you might feel a bit queasy, and I just thought I'd give you a heads up. If you have any saltines, I would definitely eat those.
Just like in her dress.
No, Elvar, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll prepare ourselves the best we can, and I'm going to turn and I'm going to look at Amira and Adelaide and Geraldine. Time moves differently here. I don't know how much time we've lost back home.
Oh, shit. Amira runs out.
Adelaide runs out and like kind of like rolls her foot a little bit, but like recovers quickly. Is like, nobody saw that. And like,
she's like hobble running now.
I'm okay.
So, somewhere out there, someone's writing down the story of Adelaide to be like an epic that is told at the court. And they're like, and the last words she said as she left were, nobody saw that. And scholars the have sonnet discussed what that means for generations.
For generations.
There's Adelaide's ankle, like Achilles' heel.
Yes! Yes!
I suffer from
Adelaide's
ankle.
You know what? I will leave one baddie shoe behind.
Yes!
You got it.
That's the princess thing to do.
Yeah.
It's the princess
one baddie
thing to do.
One baddie shoe.
As you guys leave through the gate and re-enter the mortal world through the Everlost Lake, this may be the most consequential role of the campaign.
Oh, God. How many?
You're going to be rolling a d4. On a 1, no time has passed at all.
Okay.
On a 2, 7 hours have passed. On a 3, 1 day has passed.
Oh, God.
On a 4, 1 week has passed.
1 week, Clarity?
Thank God I'm not rolling.
I thought you were the designated roller.
Yeah. I thought that you could what? Roll so good.
Yeah, no. You've been rolling so hot. No, I think we should just like, do it. So
it's what the fans
no,
wanted.
I don't have a disease, therefore I don't have to roll.
But Elliot
said, you've been cured of roller's disease?
Yeah, I've been cured of rolling's disease.
But it's what...
But Chinook, isn't like the arc of the season is now you don't have to roll, but you choose to roll?
Yeah.
Mm, oh. Embrace your destiny.
That's what a brave princess would do.
You're the
so brave. Fuck you for that.
So brave.
The famous of
That's
the
vengeance right there.
Okay, I'll roll the goddamn dice.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
so
come
scared.
On, baby.
Okay, you're rolling a d4. Really, you just don't want to hit a 4.
Yeah, a 1 or a 2 would be great, though.
Okay.
It's 50% chance that everything's fine.
Yeah. Because you control this.
Abby!
I rolled a 2.
7 hours. Okay. No, 1 hour? What was that?
As you pass through the Everlost Lake and arrive back on its shores, you look up into the sky and see just dappled slightly through the trees, the sun has now risen where it was once night, and you know that but 7 hours have passed.
Oh my God.
Oh my
since
goodness.
Since you were last here.
Back collapse onto the ground in relief.
Also, Matt kind of like whinnies and then taps his foot 7 times to let you guys know what happened.
Because that's a good Matt.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. There were so many bad horses in there. You're making really good horse noises.
Horses are usually pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Not always.
I would love to hear some more horse noises since they sounded
yeah,
so
Matt.
Good.
Did you say
Matt, you've got so much to say.
Did Spot not talk to you at all?
We sent Spot back, didn't
oh,
we?
Oh, yeah. Didn't we?
No, you guys sent like squirrels and elk back.
Yeah,
squirrels.
Spot's still here.
We still have Spot.
Spot's the true MVP of the campaign, guys.
Where's the brownie? Is he brownie?
Brownie. Brownie's chilling with Matt.
Playing games.
He's sitting on Matt's back.
Look at all your friends.
That's a good boy.
What a good Matt.
That's the best boy.
Good Aww. Boy, Matt.
I need to see that drawn as soon as possible.
Special request for art.
Yes. Just
immediately.
Brownie on Matt.
As you guys emerge from the Everlost Lake, but a few hours having passed, and most importantly, having the second of three items to break the candy Ooh. Curse, I ask you now, where do you go next?
It's Dulcinea's castle, right?
I think we gotta go to Dulcinea's.
I think we gotta go to Dulcinea's.
It's to the castle.
To the tower we go.
We should take a little rest, though, I think.
We should definitely rest.
Let's do a little picnic by the lake, you know, like we used to.
Oh, that sounds really lovely. And as you say that, Adelaide throws up all over herself.
Oh. Maybe we take a rest instead of a picnic.
Yeah, we're gonna Adelaide. We're camping now.
Adelaide took too much baddie potion. Then I throw up on myself right after that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There's a lake right there. We'll rinse all that off. It's fine.
And with a harmony of hurling, that is where we'll end this episode of My First Dungeon, Perils and Princesses.
Oh, that was brilliant.
I'd like to note, Geraldine holds her baddie potion.
Yeah, no, Geraldine got it. Geraldine could have parkoured
iron stomach.
She's got it.
No, Geraldine just like has a like hiccups and it's like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, no,
she's like giggling, sitting and being like, what for that was?
No, it's that combination of too much baddie potion and then coming out of the, of the thing. I was done.
Geraldine drinks some more baddie potion.
It's a little extra twinkle in her eyes.
It turns out the dog, Geraldine's potion, you pull it off and it said baddie potion. And then under that, it says Michael's secret stuff. And then under that, it just says water.
Don't even have it with you. The baddie lived inside
you all along. It was you all along.
Tune in next week as our brave princesses venture south to the Tower of the Witch Dulcinea to try and retrieve the final of three elements they need to break the candy curse. And as always, remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, bye, guys.
Bye. Bye, Ben.
Princess.
Princess.
I am stressed.
Princess.
Princess.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Shenouk Tissara. Editing and sound design by Brian Flaherty. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. Additional music and sound effects provided by Artlist.io. My First Dungeon is a many-sided media production. If you want even more My First Dungeon, join our Patreon to get access to the cast talkback for this episode, which sounds a little something like this.
Shenouk, you going, hey, I can't talk to you about it. I only got 5 minutes left. With no context whatsoever.
Sorry.
God.
I recognize it was a really mean thing to do.
Oh, so good.
And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.